So
you
want
that phone call?
Yeah,
because
in
So the title is Seven Doiros of Avodah Satfila. That was the title given to Reb Levi with a question mark, and he didn't say no. So presenting it like that, Seven Doiros of Avodah Satfila, means that it's Kaina historical survey, but on a unique occasion like this, the 200th Yahrzeit of the Alter Rebbe, obviously there are many different dimensions that one could speak about the Alter Rebbe. But the most prominent thing about the Derech of Chabad, that the Alter Rebbe was, which he founded, was Meyasser, is the inyan of Chassidus. The whole idea of Chassidus, which comes down into the person's mind, that there is the Or Lamaila, tremendous Gilui Or, but that Or, the Reverend Rashab speaks about it as His Abus Or, the thickening of the light. That the light should come down in such a way that our Seichel is able to grasp that Or, grasp that radiance. And the way the Rebbe Rashab explains it in Torah Shalom is that the Alter Rebbe first did this in Tanya. So he wrote the Tanya, which is a tremendously carefully constructed work. The historians talk about it. They say, when you come to the book Tanya, compared with the other Svarim of Chassidus, which suddenly it's a ray of light. You know, this is how the historians talk about it, because it's so clear and it's what the book is based on. Say for sure, each section of Tanya that the Alter Rebbe wrote as Chalokim, whether it's the Sefer Shobeninim or Shai Yichud Ramuna, Igeris HaTshuva, they've all got a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's quite clear what they're saying. So, in contrast to most other Hasidic Sfarim of that time, which were usually put together after the person had passed away, and it's like shtiklach, even something like Kedushas Levi that was printed in the lifetime of Reb Levi Yitzchak Reb Benditcher, but it's points. It's not a whole manual as Tanya is. So the Rebbe Rashab says that the Alter Rebbe was able to do this like highly organized structure in a written book, but in his mamorim before Peterburg, his mamorim were a tremendous gilu'ah. You know, I mean, now we can see some of the Ma'amorim Ketzorim, you know, other Svarim of Ma'amorim, which are before Petzburg. So the way the Rebbe Rashab puts it, was a tremendous Gilu'ah. And then comes the whole thing of Petzburg Yutes Kislev, which was, the Alter Rebbe understood this as a Kitrug Milamayla, Takeh, a whole question, is it right to be Mefasim Chassidus in such a way that you're taking from the highest level and putting it in such a way that the human seichel is able to understand it. And the fact that that there was the Geula of Yutes Kislev, Baruch Hashem, that was the affirmation, Milamayla, that it's right to do it. And the whole story about the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid coming to the Alter Rebbe when he was in prison, and it's speaking about this very inyan. So the Rebbe Rashab says, after Petzburg, that's when you have the hisavusa, or the thickening of the light, so that it's able to come into seichel, and as a result, we then have mamorim of the Alter Rebbe, which a person is able to learn with seichel, and you think through it. Now, so that became the hallmark of what Chabad is about, whether it's the Alter Rebbe's mamorim, the Mittler Rebbe, all the Rebbeim after that, the thousands, Baruch Hashem, of beautiful mamorim. Each one which takes an inyan and investigates it, discusses it, and analyzes it, and it's a whole structure, a whole finesse. So on the first level, the hallmark of Chabad and the hallmark of the Alter Rebbe is Mamari Chassidus. But the point is that in the early generations particularly, the point of learning Chassidus was to use the Chassidus in a particular way, like what's his first name? Shemarius Hasonkin. What's his Nochum? Nochum Shemarius Hasonkin. He writes in the Febrengens that they would have in Lubavitch in 1906. Not the misprint 1806. In 1906, when he came to Lubavitch. So there were two mashvim whom he describes, Groinem and Reb Michal Blina, Reb Michal de Elta. So Reb Michal de Elta, he would urge the Bocherim, you've learned Chassidus, now it has to come to a Tachlis, has to come to Maisa. What's the Maisa of Chassidus? The Maisa of Chassidus is davening b'avodah. That's the Maisa of Chassidus. So it was understood during that period of time that from the Alter Rebbe down to the Rebbe Rashab, the Friedrich Rebbe, it was understood the whole nekuda of learning a maimer is then to use the maimer in some way in davening. I forgot to bring your yechidus. It was one of the things I was going to bring. But Rabbi Lu was in Yechidus with the Rebbe many times, Baruch Hashem, and he put out a tshura. Do you have it in the library?
Probably do. Can I
which one? It's a tshura of all the Yechidus of Rabbi Lu, like Mugadig Yechidus.
Which chasna was it from? No.
Which chasna?
Vigla. I have that. That's on the computer, I think.
It's in the computer, okay. So there, one shtickle in this Yechidus is the whole idea of thinking over a bit from a maimer in davening. And so there was the Yechidus, then Rabbi Lu wrote it out and gave it into the Rebbe, and it's Muga. So what were the words of the Rebbe on the maimer? Something like what you say, or that any mimer.
Love dafka.
Love dafka was.
Look, I don't want to say anything which I'm not magia myself.
I thought the Rebbe was saying that whichever mimer you wanted to think about, that would be appropriate.
Love dafka, the one that you learned that day.
Yeah, that's right. Hello. Yeah. So love dafka, the one you learned that day. In other words, you may have a shtickle in your mind from a maimer that you learned 6 weeks ago or maybe 6 years ago. And that little shtickle, that keeps you going. There's a fire in that for you. So if you want to think about that when you're davening, so think about that. If the maimer you learned this morning is is there, you know, has that same energy for you. So you put that into it. So the Mittler Rebbe used to talk about mezuman, cash. So it's like the idea that you could have a lot of money in the bank, or in stocks or something, or goods, you know, 100 bottles of wine or something, it's worth a lot of money. But do you have any cash in your pocket? You need something from the Ma'amarim that you've learned, or the Chassidus that you've learned, which you're able to use in davening at that moment. So for that filler, so that's the mezuman, using mezuman. Now, learning Chassidus today actually brings us to a much broader dimension than specifically the Inyan of davening. When a person learns a Sicha, a Maimah of the Rebbe, it's a whole transformation of the way in which we see life in every aspect, the whole understanding of what is the role of the Jew in the world in the world, what is, and the whole process from Briyas HaOlam to Mashiach. And the Bechein, the Avoida that comes out of a Maimah today, might be that a person says, no, you know what, we're going to go and set up a Chabad house in, you know, in India. Or, you know, it's a whole perspective, or I'm going to support, dedicatedly support something or other that's happening. It's a broad phenomenon involving the entire life of a person. But I think, still, at the same time, pure Avodas HaTfilah, in other words, that the idea that what the Alter Rebbe is giving us is a gang, is a derech in Avodas HaTfilah, is something highly relevant today and very important to understand. And what I want to try to explain is what is special about the Alter Rebbe's derech in this, to explain it. Now, in order to explain it, I want to contrast and see what the Alter Rebbe is getting at. So, here in Kesa Shem Tov, we have a letter right at the beginning where the Baal Shem Tov describes the famous letter, Geras HaKodesh, where he describes the Aliyas and the Shama going into the Heichel of Mashiach, asking Mashiach, when is Mashiach coming? When Lechashiyafutsu Manasechachutsu? And you could say that the project of the Alter Rebbe of bringing Chassidus down into Seichel is that process of Yafutsu Manasechachutsu. That's what the Rebbe Rashab says. This was a Yud Tes Kislev for Brengen in 1907. And so he said the beginning of Yafutsu Manasech Chutzu was after Peterburg, because then the Alter Rebbe began with these Ma'amorim that are able to go into Seichel. Now, the letter actually goes on and gives a derech in davening. Achzois ani modiacha. This is what I'm letting you know. V'Hashem yeh bezrecha. Let Hashem help you. L'noichach Hashem da'kecha, your way should be straight to Hashem ba'al yalizu, don't go astray. Be'est filosecha, when you're davening, v'limudecha, and when you're learning Torah, v'chol dibu v'dibu amaitzvistisecha, and actually every word that comes out of your mouth, techaven liyached shom, you should have in mind that you're going to make a yichud in this upper realm. Shom. Because in every single letter, yesh oilemois, there are worlds, that means ruchnidiga worlds, unashamois, ve'elokus, in every letter of the davening, or of the learning Torah, if you're learning in a very spiritual way. Va'oilem umiskashrim umisyachdim, and they rise up, these letters rise up and connect together and are unified zemzer, one with the other. Va'achakach miskashrim umisyachdim oisyois, then the letters connect, v'nasem teva, they become a word, u'misyachdim yichud amiti belokus, and they become a true unity with Hashem. V'sichlo nishmoscha imahim b'chol b'china b'china ma'anau, and you should join in your neshama at every step of them going higher, And all the worlds are unified together. It's a tremendous, tremendous simcha. It's an amazing thing. It's something absolutely ecstatic. Now this gives an idea of what we might think of as a kind of a Balshemska kind of davening. You open the siddur, and immediately you see the words, Baruch, Baruch Sha'ama. It shines out. You can see Olamos, Neshamos, Elokos. It's radiant. It's a tremendously fantastic thing. Now the Alter Rebbe refers, I would say, the Derech Efsha. The Alter Rebbe refers to this when he gives the introduction to Shah Yichud V'Emunah. Because in the introduction to Shah Yichud V'Emunah, Chinuch Kotten, the Alter Rebbe talks about two approaches. One approach is the inspired person, the person who is a natural, that immediately there's the Ava, he says it's a kind of tzaddik. Immediately there is the Ava, he has this inspiration, like he doesn't need to do, 20 minutes his boininess in order to get the fire burning. The fire is burning already. He's like in the Baal Shem Tov's letter. You look at the words of the davening, you can see Olamos, Neshamos, and Elokos. Can't you see it? And so that is a certain kind of person that he calls here a tzaddik, a kind of tzaddik. And then he says, but there's another kind of person, another kind of ava, where it's not so simple, and you have to work on it. And that's where you have the mitzvah, that you have to actually, that you should love Hashem. How can you command someone to love? Well, so there comes the whole avodah of his boinonus in order to awaken this av. So that's the way I understand this Chinuch Kotten. That is talking about on the one hand, the natural ava, which is burning anyway, and some people have that, like rarer kind of person. And on the other hand, the ava, which you have to work on, and what he's giving in Shah Yichud is a gang, is a derech, in order to awaken that kind of ava. And that's, and he also mentions that the higher kind of person, since Sheva Yipol Tzadik Makom, it can sometimes happen that the person who usually it's switched on, whenever he just opens the siddur, it switches on. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. So then he also has to do a bit of his boinonus because Hashem wants him to climb to a higher level. So before he climbs to a higher level, Tabiyachal, he falls down lower. So he doesn't daven with a bren automatically. So he has to stoke the fire. You know, if the fire's not so obvious. So you have to get coal and things to light the coal, fire lighters we used to have, and the whole business in order to get the fire going. And sometimes you can just press a switch and the whole heating system works immediately, or it's on all the time, it's boiling. And other time you have to go to the woodshed or the coal shed and a whole business in order to make the fire. So what do we have in order to make the fires of Ava and the other side of the Kohen, Yiras Hashem? So that we have the most amazing Oitzreis. It's just incredible to think of the Svarim that are here in this room, and even just this one Sefer Tanya, together with Chumash Tilim Tanya and Hayom Yom, which is in this Sefer. The tremendous, tremendous treasures that are here in the most incredible way. So, just a couple of points about Tanya. First of all, the Shah Yichud V'Emunah itself. So, Shah Yichud is giving a way of focusing on the Elokus, which is in the world. And, in fact, it begins off on the next page, Lahovin ma'at mizeh, to understand a little bit, Mashikosa b'zoya, what it says in the Zohar Kaddosh, the Shema Yisrael chuli hu yichude ilah. Shema Yisrael is the upper unity. Ubarak shem kibayit malchus alonam v'ed hu yichude tata is the lower unity. What does it mean, the upper unity, the lower unity? As he explains, as the Alter Rebbe explains in the pages of Shah Yichud, that the first of all, you start off at the beginning. Now this is actually a way that a person could start davening. Could be a Wednesday morning, could be a Shabbos morning, could be before Mincha. I once heard the Rebbe in a Febrengen talk about doing a bit of avodah in Mincha, davening Mincha. Like, the whole idea of davening Mincha is an avodah, because you tear yourself away from whatever's going on around. For some people, they daven Shachris at the time of Mincha. Maybe that's part of it. So the idea is the first page. So just thinking through the first few prokim of Shai Yichav Yamuna, first of all, Chinuch Katan, and then the idea, it says in the first parak, that there is an Or Eloki, there's Oisius. The Oisius, which give life, the letters of Aleph Beis, which come from Hashem, which give life to everything. So the table, that is being kept in existence through the energy which is coming from Hashem, and it forms the word Shulchan, whatever the name of the thing is in Lashon Kodesh, that is actually the spiritual formula of that thing which is keeping it in existence. And so Perek Aleph of Shai Yichud is explaining that. And Perek Beis says, if that's the case, miracles are possible the whole time. Everything is fluid, because the whole time Hashem is sending this energy into everything, so everything can be transformed at any moment. And he gives this wonderful moshel that there is the same way that Oisios come from Hashem into the mind of a Novi, and he speaks Nevuah. Parallel to that is the existence of the world. It's like a continuous flow coming from Hashem. Elsewhere in Chassidus, it speaks about the Asura Ma'amoris, which is creating the world, and the Asura Sadibris, which expresses the Torah. The difference between them is, when you hear Torah, you read Torah, it's obvious that it's Torah, it's obvious it's Kedusha, it comes from Hashem. When you look at a table or a house or a tree, it needs thought. But the power of thought, guided through Chassidus, is to be able to see the Elokus in the table or the tree or whatever it is. And then in Perek Gimel, goes through a way of looking at this, you know, if that's the case, so then the true reality of the world is this Chayas Eloki, which is in it. So how can we see a world? So, well, why don't we just see the Elokus? How can we see a table? Should we drive if all you see is Elokus? And so he says, well, you know what? I'll tell you in the next parak. So the next parak explains the whole idea of tzimtzum and concealment of the divine power. So that just as there's a power of chesed, which reveals Elokus and everything, so there's a power of gevura, which hides it. And so that's in Perek Dalet, and that sounds very gloomy, the hiding of Hashem. So Perek Hey is about the gilui of Moisim and Sadikim, all the positive things where Hashem shows us glimpses of Elokus, step by day by day, a glimpse here and a glimpse there, the Midas Rachamim, which counteracts the Midas Hadin. And then in Perek Vav, there's a kind of a resolution how these two qualities all fit together. And in Perek Zayin, finally, it's not the end of Shai Yichav Emunah, but it's a climax. Because here it talks about the Yichud Ilah and the Yichud Tator as the putting together of two names, Yudke Vavke and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And you put them together with alternate letters. If the Yud is the first letter, Yud and Aleph, then He, then Dalet, and so on. If the Yud is the first letter, then it's Yud Kei Vav Kei is dominant, and so that's Yichud Eloh, where you only see Elokus. It's as if you're fiddling around with a screen of something, and you turn it like to so bright that you only see the brightness. You don't see any objects, you just see the Elokus, which is beyond. And then there's the other way, Yichud Tator, which is Baruch Hashem Kabod Malchus Elohim Void, where the Aleph comes first. So it's Aleph, Yud, Dalet, He, and so on. And that means that there is a world, but it is an expression of Elokus, and we have to make it into an expression of Elokus, and that's where our personal avodah, in terms of what we do in life, and so on. So that aspect, this Shai Yichud Emunah process, is actually something that a person can think through in 2 minutes or 20 minutes. But it's a thing that a person can think through and make into a hachana for davening. Even a regular weekday minyan, like 7 o'clock in the morning and one's going to go to work or something like that, and it's just light enough to be able to put on tefillin. But nonetheless, there can be that extra little that extra little bit of thought going into the davening at that stage. Now, then comes Mamorim of the Alter Rebbe, and when you look at the Mamorim in Torah, Likutei Torah, in general, I think they're very avoidedig. There's something you learn, such a maimer, and it's something that you are able to put into the davening in some way. It's got a reichkeit. Now, so the Alter Rebbe sets that in motion. So now let's take just a little bit, a few glimpses of later doiros. So of course we have the Mittler Rebbe. Now, to the Mittler Rebbe, Chassidus and Davening were incredibly central. His aim was that when two Chassidim met, they would talk about Yichud Elah. They would talk about spiritual things. They would think about spiritual things. It was said if you would cut the hand, Chas V'Shalom, of the Mittler Rebbe, instead of blood, would pour out Chassidus. when the Mittler Rebbe himself was arrested and was in prison, and his Chagah Ke'ula is Yud Kislev, the doctor managed to persuade the prison authorities that it's essential for this prisoner to be allowed to say Chassidus, otherwise he'll be ill seriously. And so I think it was twice a week there would be a group of Chassidim would come to the prison, and the Mittler Rebbe would say a maimer, and he had to say that. And so the Mittler Rebbe wrote a letter called it was a handwritten text which was copied, called Kuntres Hispailus. And later on it was printed. It's okay, I'm not going to quote from it. The Leib is just looking for it. It was never printed by Chabad for many years. But finally, when they brought out Kuntresim, like there's a whole shelf there, you can see, of Sforim of the Mittler Rebbe, Mamorim of the Mittler Rebbe. So one of them is Kuntresim. So one of them is Kuntres Hispailus. What's Kuntres Hispailus about? The funny thing is, it's about not Hispailus. Hispailus means davening with ecstasy. And there's 2 points to this. One is the warning that the ecstasy shouldn't be just zich. And it's the quest for pnimius. A person is able to have his phylus in a very, very superficial way. And in fact, there was machlokas going on, because there was another person who set himself up as a rabbaron of Shtar Selya, who took away some of the chassidim of the Alter Rebbe. And Reb Hill Parich very, very much endorsed the Mittler Rebbe. But Reb Aaron, he preached Hispailus, like whatever kind of Hispailus makes a difference. Whereas the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, was concerned that the Hispailus should be in a real thing, nishta noch gemacht thing. And that's one of the causes of the idea that in Chabad people are very careful about showing Hispailus in davening. Davening tends to be more quiet and pnimistig and intense, rather than a kind of noch gemacht, an imitation Hispailus. And so that's one aspect of the way in which Kuntres Hispailus is actually critical of Hispailus, although he does say, I'm not condemning Hispailus altogether, it's very good to have Hispailus, but it should be the right kind of Hispailus. But then there is another thing, is that he's saying, you're thinking a deep Hasidic idea, going step by step. The moment that you feel Hispailus, you've stopped the journey. He wanted people to hold back, that they should climb higher and higher and deeper and deeper. And so that meant a certain kind of davening where the person almost goes into a trance, like just out of this world in a completely spiritual dimension in their mind opening up to Elikus through the Chassidus that they're thinking about. Like the Mikla Rebbe wrote a sefer called Shah Yichud. Before it was printed, it was often called Kuntres Ahizboinanus, Tract on Hizboinanus. And it was given out like as a handwritten thing. And then in 1820, it was printed. Now, in this famous picture by Zalman Kleinman, which actually the library here has in the hall, but here we have a picture which shows this was painted by Zalman Kleinman Oliver Sholem, who lived in Crown Heights. He was a Russian Hasid. And he's painting the way, I think, in the Baumgarten Shul in Carroll Street. And it's called Shabbos Afternoon. And obviously there's been a regular minion. And the regular minion has now gone home. Sorry. The regular minion has gone home. And these people are left doing some kind of Avodah Satfila. It's a very, I find it an extremely compelling and meaningful painting. And you see his different styles of Avodah Satfila. Now, talking of the Alter Rebbe, his davening, the Rebbe Rashab says that the Alter Rebbe would take 2 hours to daven every day. Half an hour to Baruch Shama, 1 hour from Baruch Shama to the end of the Amidah, and half an hour like coming down back into the world. You read this, Olamus. So the Alter Rebbe himself says in the first Igeres HaKodesh in Tanya, the davening should be 1.5 hours. I think in Takonis Lyozna, he says either 1.5 hours or 1 hour. But like bringing it more within our scope. So here you have people davening. Now, as I understand it, this person is davening in this very, very intense style, which goes deeper and deeper. And it could well be that if you spoke to him, he wouldn't hear what you were saying. Yitzchak Kagan, Oliver Shalom, was once here in London, and he gave a talk, he described his grandfather, who was a Chabad Chassid, and the way that his father, who we knew, he used to live here in Stamford Hill, who came from Otvotsk, had been in Otvotsk. So his father was a little boy, and he came to his mother, and he said, "Why doesn't Tati come home from school?" So his mother said, "Well, why don't you go and ask him?" There's a little bit of politics going on here, I think. So the shul was just up the road, and so he goes up the road into the shul, and there's no one there except his father, wrapped in a talus, like sitting like this. And he says, "Tati, Tati, Tati." He doesn't respond, and he comes back to his mother and says, "He can't hear me." So that is that particular very, very intense style. Incidentally, Reb Shneur Zalman Gafni in Kfar Chabad also davens in this style. And I once heard from a student of mine in the university who came from Australia a description how Rabbi Gafni came to visit Melbourne. Rabbi Gafni came originally from Perth, which is the other side of Australia. But he was visiting Melbourne. So he came into the big yeshiva in Melbourne and he needed to daven. So he began davening, and at some point he looks like this. Then Rabbi Yitzchak Grom Oliver Shalom has heard that this well-known, this famous guest has come. "Where's Rabbi Gafni? Where's Rabbi Gafni? Come, Rabbi Gafni!" No move whatsoever. And Yitzchak Grom calls his name a few times. He goes right up to him and says, "Rabbi Gafni!" Then he looks around at everyone else. He's like, "He doesn't hear me." You know, you can imagine Yitzchak Grom, like, calling someone, you know, from up close. So a student of mine in the university, he was there at that moment. He was absolutely, he said, you could see, he just did not hear, did not react in any way whatsoever. He was just completely angered in that. Then, of course, you have more standard kind of davening, you know, this person, and maybe this person, you know, they're davening with a nigun. Reb Mendel Futterfass spoke to me about davening with a nigun. He says there, and it's also said about the Hasidim of the Mittler Rebbe who weren't doing this, davened with a nigun. And so Reb Mendel said there's two approaches to davening with a nigun. One is that you take a tenua of a nigun and you go over that tenua again and again. There were once two Hasidim visiting here, older men, and they were describing an old Hasid in Montreal. I don't know which Hasid, but Rabbi Lu might recognize. And they said, how does he daven? He davens with, oh, ya, 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 ho, ho, ya, 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 ho, ya, 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 ho, ya, 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 just with that opening tenua of Shalosh, of the Shalosh Tenuas. Who was it? That was Peret. Well, that was the famous Mashpia of the community of Montreal, Peretz Motchkin. So that's davening with a tenua. But then there's davening with a whole nigun, Reb Mendel says. And I think Reb Mendel himself would daven with a tenua, but he admired people who daven with a whole nigun. Now, he didn't notice it. He didn't mention it, but Levy once got me a tape of Reb Shlomo Noach HaGadol davening in Brunois. And I actually met the person who made the tape, who was his grandson, and who described to me, it was a Gewaltige Hashgacha Pratis. I'd just been to give a talk about that somewhere, and at the airport in Lod, in the Ben Gurion airport, I met this grandson, and he described the whole thing, how he went into his grandfather's room, when his grandfather wasn't there, and they had their big tape recorders. So he put a tape recorder under the bed. And then at the time when his grandfather was davening, he came in again with a pair of trousers and a needle and cotton and said he's got to repair his trousers. So he sat on the bed and then he reached down and clicked on the tape recorder. And meanwhile, his Zayda davened. And so there's a recording of the Zayda davening, and he's davening with the nigun called the pilpul. And he's like going through the nigun of the pilpul, and it's amazing to listen to. And you can, he goes through Birchas Kriyat Shema and into the Shema all the time. I can't quite do the nigun. How's it going after me? Yeah. So like backwards and forwards. So these other people are like davening with a nigun. Then you have this person. Now I heard he's walking up and down. He hasn't yet put on his talis.
It's a 3 o'clock.
And yeah, the clock. Now, when I'm talking to students and I show them this picture, I say, well, this reminds me of something my Zayda Olav Shalom told me about. My Zayda came from Poland and from Vyshkov. Whichever place. It was in Poland. And there was a Kotzka Chosid in my Zayda's town. And the Kotzka Chosid would walk up and down the Beis Medrash with the talis over his shoulder and for hours, and wouldn't daven until late in the day. And when people asked him, you know, why aren't you davening at the right time? You know, it's Zman Tefillah. So he would say, this what my Zayda heard as a boy, the Rambam says, that was the Loshen, I've never seen this actually in the Rambam, but the Rambam says that if you hire a man to cut down a tree, so you have to pay him from the moment he starts sharpening the saw. So he's walking up and down sharpening the saw, and it takes time. In other words, getting a certain kind of orientation. Now, this is actually in a Chabad setting, it's not a Kotz setting. But one can imagine a person has learned a Maimon and is going over it. What does it mean? What's the Bechein of the Maimon? You might be able to say the Maimon Baal Peh, that's wonderful. But what is it actually saying to me as a person? What is it saying about life? What is it saying about the world and, of course, Mashiach, everything? And so you're walking up and down, trying to get into that, and then you'll be able to daven. So I have heard it said that the painter made a few of these paintings, similar paintings. Kleiman always, whatever scenes he did, very often there are several different versions of the same scene. And he did another one of this, where the clock is 2 hours later, and the shadows are longer, and everyone has gone home, except for the child, who like represents the painter, and this person, who is still walking up and down with the talis over his shoulder, hasn't got to the point where he can actually daven with the mic. So, I think we've run out of time, ladies, is that right?
No.
All right, so just a few points more. Now, the Mikkel Rebbe was concerned.
Slight different version.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. After that, but it's 1968 to 1981.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Now, this painter, as Rabbi Lou was mentioning before, was written to by the Rebbe. Something that this painter, when he was a Bocher, he had drawn something and it was printed in some publication, and the Rebbe wrote to the Bocher in Kfar Chabad, encouraging him in his realistic style of painting and telling him that he should make a kind of set of pictures about Kfar Chabad so that people should know what Kfar Chabad represents. And he has got, in this book, there are a whole lot of Kfar Chabad paintings with people after a Verbrengen, Shikha, and doing a Kulia in the streets, and all kinds of Kfar Chabad style paintings, and then the New York style paintings, because he ended up living in Crown Heights. And he lived upstairs, this base medrash in Carroll Street, and he lived upstairs to that base medrash.
I met him there.
Yes? Well, that's his host. I never did.
Mm-hmm. I went to this Carroll Street, and I met him here. Alice Brooks at the time when he
was off. Now, the Hasidim of the Mittler Rebbe often, I mean, you see, let me point out what might be a problem. This person is sitting, thinking very, very deeply, what about the actual davening? Right? When he comes out of this state and he picks up a siddur, you know, where is he? At Hareini Mekavel? You know, and what about his wife and children at home? And like, you know, so he might end up rushing the whole davening. And so there's a letter in 1820, Shai Yichud was printed, and sometime between that and before 1826, it was 1826, Torah Chaim began to be printed, and the letter refers to the Torah Chaim Mamorim, which were B'Ksav Yad, not printed. So it's sometime between 1820 and 1826. One manuscript has 1823, like Tovkuf Pei Gimel. So, where the Mikkel Rebbe says, look, it's getting out of hand. People are like doing his boinenus too long, and then when it comes to davening, they're not davening properly. So what I advise you to do is take the siddur. Now, the Alter Rebbe had, have you got the siddur handy? The siddur im dach? The siddur im chassidus? So the Alter Rebbe had Alter Rebbe had published a siddur, Tov Kuf Samach Gimel, 1803, which, thank you very much, Yerushalayim, square, in 1803, and there is supposed to be a copy of that siddur in the library, which unfortunately is being held captive in Moscow. But I was actually in that library, and I looked in the card catalogue for the siddur, and I couldn't find it. I spoke with Beryl Levine, the librarian in New York. He said it's supposed to be in that library, but I looked for it in the library catalogue. I could see They would bring me any book, and I ordered several different Siddurim, which they brought to me, but from the Rebbe's library, but there wasn't, I couldn't find that Siddur, but in that library, just...
Sorry, which Siddur?
The first edition of the Altar.
It doesn't exist anywhere.
According to Beryl Levine, it's in Moscow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in the Rishima of those Svarim.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah. So, but in the library there in Moscow, they when I was there with a group of professors, a lot of the books were just in cardboard boxes. They haven't even unpacked the books. There was a room, maybe three times the size of this, lined with books all round from that library. And then there were big, big cardboard boxes in the middle of the room filled with books, which hadn't even been unpacked and put on shelves. So the Siddur could have been there. So Be'ezus Hashem, those books should be redeemed and should come to the Rebbe, and we should have them. But
the first graphic,
but that's the 1803 edition of the Siddur, which didn't have Chassidus with it. But then I think it was 1816, the Mikula Rebbe published the Siddur. So this is the Alter Rebbe's Siddur as regards the instructions and the halachic part. But there's Chassidus, and the Chassidus is from the Alter Rebbe, which has been edited and arranged by the Mittler Rebbe, so that with each tickle of the davening, you've got a mimer which somehow relates to that davening. So the Mittler Rebbe, in his letter warning people about that it's going too far, this kind of long, long hispaininess, he said, better would be to learn one of these mamorim in the Siddur, so that. All right, love this.
No, you have the exact date. No, you want to have the, you have the first two dates of the Siddur.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 5563. That's 1802. Yeah. So these mamorim relate to the davening, and then there's also Pirush HaMilos, you know. So various ways, and Yossi Alperovitch put together four volumes, I think, and that's in progress, of taking shtiklich from Chassidus and connecting it to the words of the davening. You got it here.
Five volumes.
So you can take, how far does it go in the davening? Baruch Shama.
I'm
looking
at, goes a bit further, middle of
okay, the middle of the
shut down.
So the middle, so it goes to the middle of
one volume is an ashrei.
Just one volume.
Yeah, here.
Is that hey? Which is it?
Here, this is L'shem Yechud, this is volume Dalet. L'shem Yechud up to Yehi Chavoyed. So that's the Shem Yechud, Baruch Shama.
There's one volume just on that.
Hey, what's it? Hey, no, the hey.
Which yeah, so hey, yeah. So hey will be on it.
Who's my mom? Every Rebbe or just
Every Rebbe, yeah. Yeah, he went through the whole of Chassidus, taking shtiklich, and you can read it. It's a beautiful, it's an amazing thing.
Something on Vayda Ani, which is bigger than all of it.
No, it's still working. Wow. It's not out yet.
Yeah.
It's still working. Now.
Yeah, so that's the time of the Mikla Rebbe. Yeah. Then we have the time of the Tzemach Tzedek. Now, one of the most popular mamorim of the Tzemach Tzedek is Shoresh Mitzvah Satfilo, which he wrote when he was 13 years old and had a terrible argument with his wife, who must have been 12 or 11, because she told her father-in-law that her husband has written this beautiful thing, and the Tzemach Tzedek didn't want anyone to know about it. But anyway, all that led eventually to the Derech Mitzvah Secha, full of all the writings of the Tzemach Tzedek. And a very beautiful one is Shoresh Mitzvah Satfilo, which includes the statement from the Alter Rebbe, Ich will ze gonit, ich will nicht dein Gan Eden, ich will nicht dein Olam Haba, ich will no dich allein. You know, that intense idea is there in Shoresh Mitzvah Satfilo, about what the Alter Rebbe, Hoya Oima, used to say, which the Rebbe says means he said it frequently. So that's in the time of the Tzemach Tzedek. And then you have the time of the Rebbe Maharash. Now, one of the things about the Rebbe Maharash, in order to get people into the mood to daven, you need mashpiim, you need verbranging, you need people to be able to help people, advise them with learning Chassidus, and to help them to have an atmosphere of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem in their heart. So I think that the idea of a mashpia is mentioned in the Hakdama to Tanya. The Alter Rebbe says that if anyone doesn't understand what's written here, they should ask the clever people in their town or whatever, and they will explain to them, and they shouldn't have false anova. They should explain it. But the Rebbe Marash, in 1868, writes to the community of Borisov, and he says that you have a very eminent chassid, Reb Shmuel Dovber, I think his name is, and I'd like you to give him a stipend, employ him to be the town mashpia. And he will make for Brangans, and he'll make people feel enthusiastic, and he'll be enliven the hearts of people. So there you have the actual, like, making a mashpia as a proper role in the town. And then later on in the yeshiva, in the Tom Chetmin yeshiva, being a mashpia was a very important thing, having a mashpia and for Brangans. And so you have all the rich chassidus of the Rebbe Rashab, with again a lot of teaching about davening, with his kuntresim, kuntresat tefillah, we're giving guidance in davening. And the Maimah Hecholtzu, which we think of as Kuntres Avos Yisrael, was translated into English with the words Kuntres Avos Yisrael, is also encouraging Avodas HaTfilah, because he says the way you get to Avos Yisrael is by thinking certain things in davening, and that will inspire you and inspire you also in Avos Reim. So, and then the Friedrich Rebbe, there's a yam of Chassidus, very Avodidig Mamorim, of which the little maimer in Tofshian, Ahalalo Hashem B'chayai, is a very, very neat, short maimer about Pesukah de Zimra, and a very, very meaningful maimer. There's also in Tofshian Dalad, there's a Hemshech of Mamorim, closely relating to davening. And then we come to the Rebbe. Now the Rebbe, I was writing an article about, you see the point is that, there was a conference, and I gave a talk about the Mikla Rebbe's, about davening, but in the time of the Mikla Rebbe, this, that, the Alter Rebbe, the Mikla Rebbe. So I just finished the talk, so there was a professor there from the Sorbonne, and so he said, and today, Zolubavitch, do they do the Avodat HaTfilah? So I said, of course. So a year later, he contacts me. He said, I'm making a conference in the Sorbonne. Can you come and give a talk on Avodat HaTfilah in Lubavitch in the 20th century? So I thought, well, that's easy. You know, you got the Rebbe Rashab and the Friedrich Rebbe. You know, there's plenty of Chomer. So then as I was writing the talk, I thought, well, I better put in something from the Rebbe. You know, so there had come out the Igros with the index. Mm-hmm. So under Tefillah, in the index to the Igros Kodesh of the Rebbe, there's an amazing, very, very reich amount of material. Very often, the Rebbe would write to people when they write him about Avodas HaTfilah, saying, learn Perek Mem Aleph, the first page and a bit of Perek Mem Aleph in Tanya, which talks about even though Ava is the Shoresh of Mitzvah Sase and of Ava and Yira of Lo Sase, nonetheless, you need to have the Yira. The Yira, Soim Tosim Alechem Melech, you have to have the union of Kabbalah soul. So that idea of a strong, deep, intense relationship with Hashem in the davening, that's there. But also there are other things. For example, there's a letter to the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. At that time, some Bokharim called Beryl Furufas and the Shem Tovs, yes, they were learning in Manchester Yeshiva. And they were davening by Avodah, which was completely outside the Seder of the Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva was very concerned about this, and he wrote to the Rebbe complaining. So the Rebbe responds and says, well, I understand what you're saying, that these Bokharim, you know, they do in davening, and other aspects of their Hanhaga don't seem to fit the, you know, if they were great Masmidim who know Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, then maybe. But then the Rebbe is on the side of the Bochim. He says, but in our time, when all kinds of ruches, winds are blowing in the street, if someone wants to do a thing like davening by Avoda, you should encourage it, not prevent it from happening. So the Rebbe actually argues in favor of Beryl for the first davening by Avoda, so which he still does. So anyway, that's it's a very Reich topic, but the Iker is as Be'ezras Hashem should try and do it a little bit, and that I believe is the illumination that a person sees, which will make the coming of Mashiach that much more recognizable, because the Geula Klalis, the general Geula, is when Mashiach comes and the Beis Hamikdash is built and there's no more war and everything like that and Tchias Hamesim. But the Geula Protis, the private Geula, is a person in shul davening with a little bit of gefil. Rav Yanko Gurkov, I love you, Shalom, he said to me, the Iker in davening is to say a few words with an emes. So that's just a shalom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.